Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Would you please be upstanding for the word of God? Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him.
God, I thank you that you're teaching us how to follow you. You're teaching us that we were designed to follow you. There's no better life. There is no life apart from being a follower of Christ. And so, God, as we prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say about following you, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come. I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from you about how you're calling us to follow you. And so we thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that I get to be a follower of Jesus, and I know my brothers and sisters here are as well. So show us your ways in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We're starting a new series, and September here at Every Nation Brisbane is Disciple Month, where we're going to be discovering a lot of what God has designed us and how he's designed us to be disciples. So the title of this series and the title of my message today is A Disciple Is dot, dot, dot. A disciple is dot, dot, dot. Now, if you're like me, who, by the way, my name is Nelly, for those of you who are new here. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We welcome you, especially for the new time, first time, new people who are here. Man, my English is dissipating. So welcome. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome. Hope you feel at home here. When we look at what the meaning of something is, a biblical concept, we often go to the scriptures and don't just look at it in the language that we come into the scriptures to. So some of us would come into it, most of us in this room would come to the scriptures in English. Many of us would come into the scriptures in our own native languages. I know we've got many native languages in this room today, and that's what we celebrate, being a intercultural, multicultural church. But we have to go to the original language of which a disciple is mentioned. It's interesting to note that the word disciple is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. The word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. And in those 3 times, it's usually a word of mockery because it meant at that time little Christs, little mini-me Christs that would, you know, wanted to follow Jesus. So those who were around them would use it as a term to mock them. But Jesus was talking about not wanting to make Christians, but make disciples. And so with the mention of this word in particular in the Greek, the word is mathetes. Everybody say mathetes. Mathetes. I know you were thinking about that over breakfast. Mathetes is the word that's used for disciple in Greek most often. So when you read the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, Christians call it the Great Commission, the last chapter of the book of Matthew, which is one of the 4 Gospels, Jesus goes on to explain that we're called to go and make disciples, right? The word is mathetes, and the word literally means pupil, learner, disciple, schoolboy or schoolgirl, or scholar. So those who sit under the teaching of one who mentors them. But what Jesus is saying is actually a lot deeper when we look at the scripture that Easter just read. And so what I'm going to do today is just break down the scripture, which is the first mention from the word of, from Jesus' lips at least, of talking about disciples. And we break this down, and this is a concept that you're not going to just hear today and not just throughout the series, but this concept of the 3 F's that describe disciples and what a disciple looks like is something that is all over the DNA of our church. And so when we look at Mark chapter 1, you can also find a similar passage in Matthew as well, but for the sake of today, we're going to look at Mark's writing of this particular instance when he calls his disciples, right? And Jesus comes into Galilee, so this is in the northern part of Israel, and he's proclaiming the gospel of God, and he's saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So in the time upon encountering the disciples he's about to call, he's coming with the gospel. Now, the gospel is the good news. We're going to unpack what the gospel is. But basically, in a nutshell, we were created. Number one, we were created in the image of God. Number two, we have fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin. And number three, Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, came and was lived a perfect life and was crucified and is now resurrected. But in that crucifixion became the perfect sacrifice, the atonement for our sins, and now we have been forgiven. And then number four, because we have been forgiven, we are called to not just be restored, but be restorers of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So those are the four prongs of the gospel. We're creation, we're fallen, he redeems us, and now we're restored. We encounter the disciples and the call to discipleship being gospel-centered. It's not trying to run some sort of pyramid scheme. Jesus is not trying to start multi-level marketing, all right? He is centering everything around the gospel. It's the centrality of our existence as Christians. If not for the gospel, we might as well pull out bingo cards and play bingo, because there's no point to us gathering here today. But how many of you are thankful that he has saved us from our fallenness? How many of you are thankful for the message of the gospel in our lives that turns our lives completely around? We are no longer old creations living in the oldness of our sinful ways, but we are new creatures, new creations. The old is gone, and behold, the new is here. It's like that excites about four people in here. Sorry, I'm not fishing, and we're going to talk about fishing in just a moment. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. And I want us to note, he's calling two people at a time here. They're brothers. They're casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately, everybody say immediately, they left their nets and followed him. For those of you who grew up during the 80s, how many of you remember a show called Happy Days? This was not, oh yeah. This is not like Fonzarelli, you know, with the click, and then, and, you know, all of a sudden these ladies come out of the bushes and like, "Whoa, Fonzarelli." This is not like Jesus clicking. The anointing upon him, remember, is centered upon the gospel. They recognize that salvation can only come from God. Salvation's not going to come by the work that they do. How many of us are clear on this? They were formally defined by what they do as fishermen. And Jesus says to them, "That's not going to fulfill you. But come follow me, I'll fulfill you, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." So the call, the first F in being a disciple of Christ, is that we're called to follow Jesus. Now, it sounds easy. How many of you are followers of Jesus in here? Just wave at me. All right. Most of us in this room. But how many of you know it's not always easy to follow Jesus? So we know how Matthew ends, right? He was resurrected, but in order to be resurrected, he had to die. And no disciple followed him to the cross. Did you notice that? Some of them said, "Oh, we'll go all the way to the end with you." Like, didn't happen. But how many of us find ourselves in places where we've fallen short in following Jesus? How many of you are thankful for the grace of God that despite us falling seven times, a righteous man falls seven times, a righteous woman falls seven times, but by the grace of God, gets back up? So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, I'm going to describe a pathway here at Every Nation Brisbane, and this is just a pathway, all right? The whole thing of discipleship is it's a journey, okay? We just have signposts here at Every Nation Brisbane, and most churches that, I think all churches that have discipleship at their core will have different terms for the way that they acknowledge a pathway in journeying and following Christ. But you must grow, okay? As a disciple, if you sit under the teaching and the anointing of Jesus Christ, you will grow. All right? True. You will grow. You don't stay the same. It's amazing how many people hang around Christian venues, but they don't grow. And this is the differentiation of a Christian and a disciple, is you don't come to just attend a meeting. You come to follow Jesus. And so we have a pathway here. And again, this is just the way we do it here, just to help you understand where you're at in your growth with God. So on your seats, you will have you'll find a little fold-out of, it looks like this. And in it, you have your discipleship journey or your discipleship pathway. And how we do it here at Every Nation Brisbane. Now, I'm not going to unpack it too much other than to say there are four E's, okay? When you're engaged with the gospel, when somebody shares their faith with you, when somebody preaches the gospel to you, again, we're carriers, as disciples, we're carriers of this gospel. And so when somebody encounters you with the gospel and you receive Jesus as Lord, you have been engaged with the gospel. And so when you receive Jesus as Lord, you are what we call saved here around Christian circles. Why? Because you were once lost, but now you've been found and you've found your purpose. You've found the meaning as to why you exist. You also find Christian community in the church, the body of Christ, not just this church, but the wider body of Christ. This church is a representation of the body of Christ throughout Australia and throughout the world. So you come into Christian community, and the thing that a Christian needs is establishment and biblical foundations. And so here at Every Nation Brisbane, we have certain events that we do to help you get established in your faith. We also have tools that you can use. We have tools like there's a one-to-one app that you can use, get somebody to coach you through the basic tenets of your faith. We have a tool called the Purple Book, which you can get at our bookstore, which helps you to have the basic foundations and understanding the Word of God and what we believe as Christians, because you'd be surprised, there's so many Christians that walk around saying they're Christian but don't know what a Christian is and therefore don't really know about their faith. And so the importance of a disciple being well-founded in their faith is of utmost priority. We also have For Freedom, where we go away on a weekend retreat and a couple of weekend retreats where we help to tear up old foundations so we can establish biblical foundations, because you can't build on old foundations. And so there are things like inner healing that happens. There's a lot of prayer ministry that happens, recognizing certain patterns in our behavior, addictions that we have, things and behaviors that stem from rooted things that have come into our past. And so at For Freedom Weekends, we have this opportunity to uproot those things. And so this helps us to be established in our faith. And of course, during that time, as a Christian is established in their faith and established in biblical foundations, what happens is, you know, there's this complete transformation. We baptize people at this point, because we make a public declaration where we invite your friends and your family to come out and say, I am following Jesus wholeheartedly, no turning back. And so baptism happens at this point. Then we move into equipping. And so we equip disciples to make disciples. And so actually, what's going to be happening this next Sunday after service, I want to invite all of you who have already gone through foundations, but are like, man, you know what? I want to learn how to, number one, communicate this gospel. And then number two, to be able to lead people in a small group or a life group where you do life together. So all you life group leaders, I know we've got a meeting after this service briefly for 20 minutes, but next week we have our first Making Disciples class. And I want to invite all of you who are interested in learning about what this gospel is, how to preach it, and then learning about how to, you know, bring people into a small group environment to help make disciples. It's that simple. Those are the two things. We'll teach you how to communicate your faith and the gospel. And then number two, we'll teach you how to run small groups to make disciples. Is that cool? And then number four, we empower you and release. Of course, you don't need us to empower you. You should already be empowered. But just the empowerment of training up leaders with our School of Leadership. We've got, for those of you who know what Leadership 215 is, we're reformatting it to be our School of Leadership, which is going to be launching in February next year. So this will give you basic theological knowledge. This will give, so you understand how your faith correlates towards a deeper understanding of theological concepts, apologetics, church history, all of that sort of stuff that will help you to be well-founded. And then we'll be able to contextualize that to the nature of what we do here in Australia. So it's not just knowledge without application. It's knowledge with activation. Amen. That's my freestyle rapper coming in there. I didn't even prepare that. Yeah, check it out. All right. So every single one of us should understand where we are in this process, right? And it's taking ownership of where we are in this process. So I want to describe A, B, C, D here. So for some of us in this room, we're an acquaintance, and we welcome all acquaintances. Can we give it up for those who are acquaintances? And you know, you've come and you've come to visit our church. We're so, so blessed you would join us here today. And maybe you're not at a place yet where, you know, you're willing to fully commit yourself to Christ, but you're just happy that a friend would bring you along. We are so glad. We just hope you feel welcome here. Then we have B, the believer, right? And that's those who have made a decision to follow Christ, but aren't quite at a place yet where they've embraced membership towards the church, which is C. And then D is the disciple, not just the disciple, but the disciple-making disciple, because you can become a believer and be a disciple. But what we're put here as D, it should be disciple-making disciple. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, so if you're an acquaintance, what you want to introduce your acquaintance to, for those of you who are just getting acquainted with the gospel, they need salvation. They need to know the gospel. So the tools that we have at this point is, you know, you can use a one-to-one, which is the tool that we have as an app. And again, we can give you more information. You can come to the guest services table. We can give you more information as to where to get all of this stuff. And again, I've mentioned already these foundational things that are to be established as a believer. And then what a believer needs is a solid foundation. And then number three, as a believer gets that solid foundation, they become a church member. And the expectation is, man, you should be growing in God, right? And then lastly, is the disciple, what can I do for God? It's a serving of others. And so we're really excited about how God will equip and empower us to equip and empower others. Does that make sense? I know that was a long journey around the journey, but just so you know, we actually have signposts and a way to help you in your journey. It's not just all fluff saying, oh, you know, just grow in God, hope for the best, you know, and your Christianity becomes like a ball in a pinball machine and you just hope to bounce into something called growth. You know, we actually have a signpost and a pathway to help you grow in your faith. And if you have any questions with regards to that, you can come and talk to myself, come and talk to Tina, you can come to guest services and talk to any of our staff. We'd be happy to help you. If you're a campus student here, you can come and talk to Adele. You know, we've got people that can help you in your journey. But please, you know, if you are wondering, man, I want to journey with God and I want to grow with God, I just need some help to know where I'm at. And every single one of us should fall into one of these categories. It's just figuring out where you are and figuring out if you want to continue to grow in God. Is that cool? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Deep breath, Nelly. And so going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee. I love the name Zebedee. Why doesn't anybody name their kid Zebedee? Some of you are looking at me. You go first. Zion's close enough. It's got a Z. But Zebedee means thunder. Like imagine. What's your daddy's name? Thunder. Oh, don't want to mess with him. You know, like, scary. And he had a brother named John. And they were in the boat mending their nets. So again, fishermen. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee. Now, you got to be pretty bold to talk to some sons of thunder. Hey, you want to follow me? And Zebedee just looks at him with his lightning eyes. Where are you taking my boys, eh? In the boat and with the hired servants, and they followed him. So not only did these guys leave their occupation, but they left their father to follow Jesus. That's some pretty powerful following. But that's what the anointing of God does, is that once you realize the power, again, of the gospel found in Jesus Christ and how that defines us, more than, and again, I hesitate to say this because we're celebrating Father's Day today, but more than our families, Jesus Christ defines us. More than our occupations, more than our cultural nationalities and our ethnicities and our, you know, everything that comes with that. More than just anything that would try to define us. Jesus Christ defines us as we follow him. So that's the first quality of a disciple of Jesus. Is what? They follow Jesus. Turn to somebody and ask them, are you following Jesus? It's like three people mumbling it, man. All right, number two, the second F is this fellowship with believers. Notice when Jesus calls these four disciples, he calls them in groups of two. He's calling them together. He calls them in a group. And so this is really important. He could have called crowds. But crowds, how many of you have ever been to a movie theater? For those of you who haven't, we can pray. Father's Day, fathers, you can go to a movie. How many of you have ever built a deep relationship with anybody in a movie theater that you didn't come with? Like you go into a movie, sitting there for 2 hours, and by the end of it, you don't just know the movie, but you know the person next to you, like, they were a long lost friend. You don't, right? But it's amazing how many of us come to church services like this with the same mentality. And that was not the intention of God. God's intention for us was never for us to, you know, just come to be entertained in a service like this and then leave unattached to the people around us. God has called us to walk in fellowship with other believers. So talk to somebody around you. Tell them, I need you. Don't just say that to your spouse. Say that to somebody else you didn't come with. We need each other in this room. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. There are three allegories that are used both by Jesus and by Paul to describe the church's functionality. Number one, they all start with B. I'm all about alliteration today. He's called us to be a building, right, of which Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Number two, he's called us to be the bride. Yes, men, Father's Day, we're called to be bride, the bride of Christ. This is not like some weird cult where we're all different brides of Christ. Oh, yes, we are all brides of Christ. No, we are collectively the bride of Christ, of which Jesus is coming back as our groom to take us. So we are the building, we are the bride, and then 1 Corinthians 12 describes us as the body of Christ. The body of Christ. I loved how Brooke Fraser, I was sharing this with the worship team, Brooke Fraser described it this way, right? The body of Christ, when it's connected, it's glorious. When it's disconnected, it's a horror movie. Right, literally. But it's amazing how many people come into an environment like this, clock in, get their time. Yes, the worship team entertains you with their singing and stuff. And then you get some big brown guy up the front with a microphone that will hopefully tickle your ears. And then you go back and totally unattached to the people that are around you, right, that are next to you. This is the sort of church where we celebrate community, where we will do life together. Doesn't mean you have to do life with everybody in this room. But that connectivity to the body of Christ, not just what I can bring to you as the pastor of this house, but what you can bring to God as a connective, functioning part of the body of Christ. Fellowship with believers is important. And then thirdly, we're called to fish for the lost. Fish for the lost. It's amazing how Jesus in this particular description says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. That's a key word that's often missed out, that we become as we fish. We become more like Christ as we reach out beyond ourselves. There's nothing more saddening in our Christianity than one who is not connected with God and connected with the lost. I often ask people that come to me and just talk to me about, you know, they're in a place of a valley, and we all go through valleys. Don't get me wrong. I actually appreciate it when people can be transparent and ask me about what to do in their times of being in a valley or being in a place of dryness. Like last week, I was talking about the different seasons, and we'll all enter into a winter. I want to encourage you today that there's a direct correlation between the depth of your spirituality and the depth of your relationship with God and the intimacy that you have with Christ. And the more intimate you become with Christ, the deeper your intimacy is with Christ, the deeper you discipline that, the deeper your love will become towards fishing for men, because you become more like the ultimate fisher who fished for us. When you can't find the inlet and the outlet, you just inevitably become somebody whose Christianity becomes dry and ritualistic. I often think about how open we need to be for that to happen. And a lot of the reason why, and I'll speak specifically to the fathers in here, because there's kind of not towards you, but I'm talking about in general. As men, when we talk about intimacy with God, we can look at that as being a sissy trait. Is that okay to say here? It's a little bit limp-wristed if you're like one of those dancing around type Christians, you know, that loves to. And I'm not saying we need to dance around. Some of you, please don't dance. It's not your gifting. But like, the ability to intimately worship with God, you know, like many of us, we were talking about the worship team yesterday. Our call to worship needs to be a call to leave it on the field, to use our terminology. You know, if you play a sport, particularly if you play rugby or rugby league, often your coach will say as you're going out, man, make sure you leave everything on that field. Don't come back into this locker room without leaving everything on the field. Your teeth. Your dignity, just leave it all on the field. To be honest, that needs to be our attitude towards worshiping God and following Him, is to leave everything in this life, to arrive at the gates of heaven, being embraced by Jesus and having absolutely nothing left because he is our everything. And that's the sort of fellowship, and fishinship that God is looking for. And that's, praise God. Follow me and I will make you become fishes of men. If you're in this room today, whether you're a father or not, and your sense is, man, my Christianity is dry. I've given you a roadmap as to what we do here at Every Nation Brisbane. But more than that, I'm giving you keys to understand that if there is no direct line between you and God and encountering that intimacy with him in a way that transforms you to the point where your heart begins to beat for those who are broken, where you were once broken, but now you've been made whole, then you miss out on this joy and this exuberance that God can give you in that time. Sure, there's going to be a winter. Sure, there's going to be an autumn in our lives when leaves will fall, where hair follicles will fall. I'm just, whatever that might look like. Don't look around. Some of you are looking around. And you're like, yeah. But are you prepared? Because it's in that intimacy where you are making deposits in your relationship with God, disciplining yourself to follow him. How many of you know, like, that quick chicken McNugget quiet time's not going to cut it in the morning? With the 16 hours of bombardment of the word of gossip and the word of everything at work and the stress that's happening and all the lustful images that you encounter every day, you think that little half a verse devotional is going to cut it? God is looking for a generation that deeply know him. Not just check a transactional time with God, but a transformational time with God. But we're encountering him in that level of depth. That's the sort of level that God's called us to walk in. And we're in pursuit of it. We're in pursuit. Paul said that I have not yet found it, but forgetting what is behind, I press forward towards the mark of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Paul never achieved it or accomplished it. David wrote in Psalm 27, one thing that I ask, that which I have, which I seek after, he's still looking for it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, gaze upon his beauty, and inquire in his temple. All signs of intimacy, strong manly intimacy with God. The most manly thing that we can do, fathers, is be intimate with God and model that for our kids, model that for our wives, and cover our families with this level of intimacy with God. We're the thermostat. We are. We're the thermostat. All you single men in here, you need to turn up right now. You don't need to wait, oh, when I get a wife, then I'll show her how intimate I am with God, and then I'll show my kids out. Now, start right now. Start right now. Set the level right now. And woman of God, you don't need to let your man dictate that. Oh, I'm waiting for you to be intimate with God, and then I will be intimate. No, you start. It's amazing what prayer does, woman of God, right? How it turns the head of God towards how he wants your man to conduct things in his life. It's not manipulation. It's the will of God. Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. God's called us to fish. There are people around you every day that don't know Jesus. They don't know him. And they don't know that you know him. That same mouth you'll cheer for the Broncos with won't even speak a single word about Jesus because... Does the person that sits in the cubicle next to you, do they know about this man who fished for you, called you to follow him? Do they know it? Now, again, as I say this, I don't want you to say, oh, okay, then that means I need to tell everybody around me about Jesus. Look, the greatest testament, I was sharing this morning, the greatest testament and evangelistic tool that a Christian can have is a smile. Just carrying the joy of the Lord on your face. I'm going to let these guys, like the preacher David McGee said it this way, right? We should be more concerned with reaching the lost than pampering the saved. Yeah. Let's go a little deeper. My man, Wheaton College grad, alma mater, John Piper, he said it this way. Don't wait for a feeling of love in order to share Christ with a stranger. You already have love. You already love your Heavenly Father. And you know that this stranger is created by him, but separated from him. So take those first steps in evangelism because you love God. It is not primarily out of compassion for humanity that we share our faith or pray for the lost. It is, first of all, love for God. You're ready for this next one. This is my man C. Hattie, Charles Spurgeon. Have you no wish for others to be saved, then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. I didn't say that. I was Charles Spurgeon, all right? That guy. But the greatest testament of your salvation is how much you can't hold it in. It's that holy chismis in Tagalog, diba? You know, you just, I don't want to tell it. I don't want to tell you, but I just can't hold it. Hee hee, giggle, you know, like. I can't, you know, can't, but I'm so kilig, you know, with Jesus, you know. Just can't help myself. That's the way we need to be with God. If we're so full of His presence, so full of His Spirit, so full of His gospel, we can't shut up about it. We can't help but talk about it. And being at church is not a got to, it's a get to. We get to be here. It's not, oh, got to go to church. Man, you and your frown, just stay home. It's okay. I'll miss you. But this is a place where we celebrate the joy of what He's done for us. So those are the three F's. I'm going to give them to you one more time. Follow Jesus. Everybody say this. Follow Jesus. Fellowship with believers. And fish for the lost. These are the three demarcations of what a disciple of Christ does as they follow and sit under His teaching, sit under His leading. And I'm going to leave this up there. And I want to ask you where you're at with this. Firstly, looking at this, you know, are you an acquaintance of following God? You're around people that do know Christ, but you're not all the way following Him. Then I want to invite you today to follow Him. If you're a believer in here, but you know that you keep going around the same decisions over and over again, and you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, that's usually the sign of a foundation that is weak. And God wants to solidify your foundations. If you're here and you've gone through foundations and you've got those solidified, then maybe it's time for you to be equipped to help reach others as a church member. And then if you're doing that, let's believe that we will make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So again, I invite you just to think through. Number one, as we get ready to just break up into small clusters, small groups, right where you are, I want you to ask yourself, firstly, along this line, where are you? Are you an A, B, C, or D? And this, again, will be terminology that we will use over and over again, so you'll get familiar with this. Where you're at in your faith. And then number two, are there specific things out of these three that you want to see more of in your own life? Maybe you're making a decision to follow Jesus today. And I'm going to invite you to a moment where you will be able to commit your life over to Jesus and trust in Him. Maybe He's calling you like He called the sons of thunder. He's calling you, daughter of lightning, to come and follow Him today. Follow Jesus. Maybe it's, man, I need to fellowship with other believers. I've been trying to isolate this and do it on my own. Believe you me, that is a temptation for every single person in here, no matter how extroverted you are, is to isolate. That's a tactic of the enemy. I hope you can see that. You have to fight for fellowship. And it's amazing how Christians will rub you the wrong way from time to time. Can I get an amen from somebody who's honest in here? But I'm here to tell you today, the reason why they rub you the wrong way is because sandpaper makes things smooth. And then thirdly, God is calling us to fish for the lost. Maybe you're around lost people all the time, and I hope you are. And God's saying, it's time to pull the rod out, mate. It's time to pull the net out. It's time to actually love on them and love them towards Christ. So what we're going to do right now is I want us to just get into groups of about three or four and then just ask yourself where you stand with regards to A, B, C, or D. And then what you need to see more of in your life in terms of these three.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.